You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yeah, you got into my head with that.
I apparently got into, I told you there was a fireman. I think his name was Ernie. No, not a fireman, a mailman whose name was Ernie, who said, I just spent 8 hours delivering mail singing that song to myself. Thanks a lot. I said, if it's any consolation, I can't get it out of my head either. And you just got a text from a couple?
Yes. So Briscoe from Orlando texts in and says, we drove to evacuate Hurricane Milton, so my wife listened to the show for the first time. Now she can't stop singing, I've done it. Well, you know, let's just have Joe say it. But the best part, she has no idea who Malzy is, but of course she knows who Bob is.
Can you treat Bob to the juxtaposed version? I don't think he's heard this. This is you and I singing, and he mixed this together, Bob.
Mixed, what do you call those things?
I don't know. A mixtape?
No.
Here we go.
No, not a mixtape.
There's a word for it. We're not cool enough now.
We sound great, Bob. That's Simon and Garfunkel stuff right there.
But we didn't know we were going to mix together, so maybe we should do a live with a live mix.
I think at some point.
Do that right now?
Yeah. Okay. A one, a two. And do you want to be Simon or Garfunkel? Would you like to, as we harmonize here, would you like to go high or low?
High. I can't go high. I'll be. Whatever.
I'll go medium then. You go low.
Okay.
A one, a two, and a three.
I've done everything for Malzy and nothing for me.
That's pretty good.
That was very good. I think Rick Springfield will be proud.
Bob, you didn't hear this? We've contacted Springfield's people for him either to come in here and judge our efforts or for him to include Malzy's name during the concert. Do you think that's possible? It's at Rivers Casino, right?
Well, I remember.
Yes.
When Tim Stevens put together the song, I Want to Be in Crinkulin. People were singing that song, too. The power of your singing here, Joe, is catching on.
I think it is. And I got a, you know how City Limits and I went out to Pitt to try and return Olivia Babcock's
serve.
Yeah,
very nicely done, by the way. Very nicely
done. This is leading to On the Road.
By the way, Austin, do you play? Because you look like you had a little game in you.
Volleyball, yes. I played in high school, and I played in grade school before that, 7 years.
Okay. Well, Joe, you showed
in grade school.
Yeah, middle school.
You
volleyball.
Need to point that out.
Well, I don't know.
Joe,
I thought
you were.
I played volleyball when I was three.
Yeah, but I also thought that while you were first intimidated, you at least got to the point where you would receive that 90-mile-an-hour serve, whatever.
Right.
Intimidated.
Point being,
well, I would.
He was intimidated.
I'm on Coumadin. If I get hit with one of those things, I'll bleed. I don't want to do that.
Did you see the first ball that was served at him? He just didn't move and said, that was a good serve.
Yeah,
it was
just
right there.
What was the final score, big boy, in serves returned?
Well, I had a couple.
1-1.
Was it? Yeah, 1-1.
1-1.
Yeah, 1-1's correct.
Here's the point, Bob.
1.5, I think Joe had 0.5.
Okay, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Is On the Road with Austin and Joe is now a full-fledged segment. We've been invited to Duquesne for a game of horse against one of their good women players.
Yeah,
right?
Megan McConnell from Char Valley.
Megan McConnell, of course.
Well, you'll
We've been invited to IUP for some rugby.
Oh, don't do that.
And perhaps most prominently, I believe it was the Pittsburgh Playhouse that contacted the station. I have to get back to this woman today.
Yes.
And I've been invited to sing on stage with them. If I bring you, will you do that with me?
Yes.
Isn't that a Point Park production, or am I
wrong? Yeah, it is a Point Park.
Didn't your daughter go to Point Park?
I did, too.
You did.
Both of
and
them.
And she sings and stuff, right?
Yeah, but I would do that. I would like that because that's more up my alley as opposed to going into a rugby scrum. I don't think you'll survive that, by the way.
Well, I don't think that's what we're doing.
Well, I don't know that we're going
to. No, if you're going to do it, you have to go into a rugby scrum. You have to take a wireless mic in there.
I guess we would. That would be unbelievable.
I want to see what goes on in the bottom of those things and what kind of talk and how the breath is in some of those people.
Trash talk, rugby trash talk.
What goes on in the bottom of those piles?
Yeah, eat an onion before you play, and then you go in there and you start breathing on someone with onions. Oh,
I'll tell you who would be good at rugby is Najee Harris. He ran maniacally yesterday. Yeah, basically, he's playing rugby half the time. He seeks contact. He wrecks people.
He really does.
I love his running style. However, big picture with Najee, I don't think it was a good pick. I don't. And everybody, see, people are like me with his style. They love it. And then they get mad when you critique him or talk factual, Bob. And the fact of the matter is, he's more of a singles hitter than anything else. And I love the fact that he hit a couple doubles yesterday. He looked great. I think it was the best game of his career based on number of carries and impact and just how he looked. But it doesn't take away the fact that the previous two games, he had 27 carries for 61 yards. That's almost hard to do. So I feel like I can both love this guy's running style and demeanor and intensity, and yet step back from that and say, okay, he probably wasn't a great first-round pick. I could probably get a lot of guys to approximate his production, let's be honest. He's still averaging less than 4 yards a carry this season. I think all of that is true, but I think some of it came to a head in his post-game media scrum, at least in terms of him believing that he's not appreciated for what he does. Thoughts?
Yeah, I don't like that kind of position to take on a day where you are the star of the game and you had the game-changing 36-yard touchdown. I do think it was directed more at the media for some of the things that have been written.
What position to take? Whose position?
Well,
his?
He sounded combative, you know? I'm not a big believer that at that point you got to be combative and overanalyze with the question. They're simple questions, really. And they're not intended to do anything but get the answer. And you can handle it any way you want. You can be combative on the football field. I don't think you have to carry that into the post-game interview. And I think it was directed at the media because he perceives that those numbers, which is why he made the point that this is an 11-man effort. You guys want to focus on my numbers, but it takes 11 men to do it. That's the point he was trying to make in a roundabout way, that don't always look at my numbers and say it's just because of me. However, if you look at Jaylen Warren's yards per carry average over the last couple of years, they are better than his with the same offensive line and the same 11 men doing the work. So there is something there. I don't think he hits the hole as quickly as he needs to. I give him this. He is the hardest dude to bring down in the NFL, and he's better with fewer carries, I think. Mike Tomlin has seen this too. He's always the one bell cow, you know, cowbell cup. What am I trying to say? The running back who gets all the work.
Yeah.
So the wheels come off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was always going to use that with Najee Harris until he didn't have to. And then it made both better. It was the thunder lightning approach to their running game, which I think is very good. Najee Harris is very good when he is not carrying the ball 30 times. He's better when, which you saw yesterday, 14 carries. And when Justin Fields isn't in there, his 11 would go to Jaylen Warren. They're a better combination. So, to me, you know, he gets annoyed with people looking at his run. But the ultimate thing that he should be upset about is the fact that the Steelers chose not to pick up
exactly.
his option.
Exactly.
And when the Steelers don't pick up his option, that's telling him that they don't see enough in his game. It's not the media saying it.
Right.
They said it.
That's the thing that makes me laugh when he goes back at the media and then all the fans jump in. And it's always the, you know, the first refuge of excuse for people, no matter the topic. It's the media's fault. If he's going to be mad at anybody, why isn't he mad at the franchise that spoke louder in criticism of him through their actions than anybody else could with their words? They didn't offer him a fifth year. They told the world what they think of him as a running back. Not good enough for a fifth year. I suppose they could change their mind, but that's the situation right now. So if Najee Harris should be mad at anybody and speaking out against anybody, it should be his own team, which has him out there on the field running like he did yesterday, risking life and limb for nothing. He's got nothing beyond this year. No money guaranteed at all. Now, maybe he likes it that way. He can go out as a free agent. I don't know. What I know is that his team told him by their actions we're not going to give you a fifth year. We don't think you, we don't think what you've done merits a fifth year.
But his action would define what money he's going to get wherever it may be next year. And I think
if he survives the year, yeah.
But yes, one thing about him, he's fairly durable. In fact, very durable, and he doesn't fumble. And in those rugby scrum types of runs that you see, those guys are doing what TJ Watt's successful in doing. But they're trying to grab, pull, punch, get that ball out at any time, and they can't do it with Najee Harris. He is one of the most reliable running backs in the NFL. That's also very good in his favor.
Yeah, I would agree. He had a great game yesterday. He was coming off two games where he had 27 carries for 61 yards. In his playoff career, two games, 24 carries for 63 yards. He was averaging 3.3 yards per carry going into this game. And if the question is, hey, you look like you got out of the gates a little bit in this game, that's different. Well, that's a fair question. Like, what led to that? That's a fair question. The longest run of his NFL career is 37 yards. First 3 years of his college career, 350 carries, it was 35 yards. Then he had a 53-yarder his final year at Alabama. He's just not a breakaway guy, and that's a big deal. That separates you from other people in the NFL. It just does. And I love the way that he leaves his heart and soul on the field, and I think he should be more involved in the pass game as almost a wide receiver type, like splitting him out and letting him run routes. That's how good I think he is in the receiving game, and I don't think they give him enough of a chance to do that. I think all of that is true, but let's take a listen. Because a lot of people reacted when our very own Josh Rountree said this was an uncomfortable news conference. A lot of people reacted, and a lot wanted to blame the questioners, and maybe there is blame there. Let's listen for yourselves, listen to Najee's answers, and we'll talk about it. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's take a listen to some of those questions and answers, and then we'll talk about them one at a time here. Go ahead, Limits.
When you're running towards the end zone there, do you have like a yard line where you kind of know, okay, I can dive from here? Is it all just feel? You only made it by a couple of inches. That was pretty impressive.
You saying, do I have like a certain...
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, guy goes up for a dunk, he knows, like, well, I can make it from the foul line or wherever. I'm not, do you have a spot where you know you can get to the goal line?
How do you know that? You don't know that. I think that everybody believes, whenever I believe they can do something, they can do it. You know what I mean? It doesn't care what people say or what they think is normal. Like, if I say I want to jump from the free throw line like Michael Jordan did, you could jump from the free throw line. I don't put no type of restraints on what I can do because I know what I could. I know what I can do. You know what I mean? I don't really care what other people say or think. You know, so when I had the opportunity, I just took it. And I know I don't care if I was however far away. I know I could make it when I really believe in myself. So, I mean, to answer your question, like, no.
So, again,
it was a simple question.
Right. He answers that the way he runs, which I love that the guy is just, he's just oozing with intensity and combativeness because that's the way he runs. On the other hand, I thought it was actually a fun question. And I think it was Alan Saunders who asked it at the end of the first part of it, said that was pretty impressive. And it immediately became an issue. Like, to me, it's just a fun question. Like, yeah, I could probably take off from the 20 if I wanted to.
It's a simple question to answer. It's a complimentary question.
Right. And I'd be curious. Like that was as long a dive for a touchdown as you'll ever see. He dove from the 5, Bob. It was unbelievable that he got in on that. It was great. You know, it was fun.
I was really worried that what could happen there is that ball comes out and goes into the end zone and it's a touchback. As soon as he did that, I'm thinking, split second, like, oh, we've seen this before. And again, it's a great effort play. I wouldn't look at it and say, okay, this is a mistake. I mean, he tried to do something good. But the problem with that kind of play is that ball, if it does not hit the pylon and it goes into the end zone and out of the end zone, it is.
I know, but you're living in your fears at that point.
I'm just saying, when I saw it, that's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, I suppose it could have been asked a little shorter, like, Najee, that was unbelievable that you dived from the five. Is that, could you go even further if you wanted to? It's just fun. And it should lend itself to a fun answer, I guess. But sometimes, you know, you are who you are. And that, I don't think that's a bad thing with Najee, necessarily. You know, he's clearly a highly intense person. It's 10 minutes after the game, and he's probably still in that mode. I actually kind of enjoyed the whole thing, Bob. It would just, it seems like it would be easier to answer it in a different way, and that you do yourself a favor in terms of perception by answering a lot of questions for him in different ways. But he doesn't care. So credit for, I say credit to him for that. He doesn't give a damn about perception.
Well, then don't complain when the media comes down on you for certain things then. You know, I mean, you make it easier on yourself by just saying, yeah, and have fun. That is a complimentary question.
You
soared through the air to get to the, what is your limit, essentially? Why is that perceived as something? It shouldn't be.
Yeah, because he's in that mode, I would say. He's in game mode still. But yeah, I didn't think that the whole thing is just, it's sort of fun and comical to me. I just think you make it easier on yourself in general when you lighten up a little bit. And I would say that, again, if he's going to be mad at somebody questioning, like he seems to be sensing that people are criticizing him or questioning him, the media can say nothing and do nothing that was as loud a criticism as your own team made of you by not extending a fifth-year option. They're the ones who criticized you in such a manner that was a trillion times worse than anything anybody can say or insinuate. That's what I would say, Bob.
Yeah. Listen, Najee Harris is a very good running back. And I will say that. He is. I think he's durable. He does a lot of good things. He gives you the short, especially in short yardage situations, he's a guy I would go to. I thought yesterday we saw something from him that we have not seen, which is ability to make people miss badly, the quote, break your ankle run, and also the burst.
That was a great run.
The burst.
Yeah.
And underappreciated on that play is a block by Pat Freiermuth. That after the first line of surge there, Freiermuth had to make a play or else he would have been knocked out of bounds, and he did. So I get that. It takes all 11. I know that. It does. When you're running the ball well, it takes everybody.
I think he gets defensive when the
numbers are thrown at him. 27 for 61, as you said, or whatever it was.
If I gave you the numbers of Najee Harris's career on the day they drafted him, I would have said he wasn't worth a first-round pick. My feeling, and I argued to pick him at the time, is if you're going to take a running back in the first round, he better be a special kind of guy. In terms of heart and soul, Najee is that. But in terms of production, I feel like I could have gotten a lot of guys or could get a lot of guys to equal his actual production. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. And I would agree totally on that, that I don't know unless it's somebody special. And I think he's, as I said, very good. I don't think he's in the mold of Jahmyr Gibbs or some of those guys that they have in the first round. I would not look to the first round to find running backs.
Me neither.
Generally don't. I think he's a really good running back, and I think he has a lot to offer a team. I do. But as far as the kind of money he may want, he ain't going to get it here.
Wonder Twin, give us the next one.
So here is Najee on some of the physical runs that he had against the Raiders and also a little bit of pushback with Jerry Dulac.
Outside, you put a nifty move on the guy.
We got to keep pushing in and out, you know what I mean? And then it should be a domino effect. You know, the receivers do that, tight ends make plays, Justin make plays, and, you know, it's just a domino effect. So really it's just to give a spark for the team.
You had those brutal runs like that, but you bounced a touchdown outside. You put a nifty move on the guy in the open field another time. Do you feel that maybe you're a little more nimble when you run these at times, you know?
What? I know what I could do, man. Like, I don't know what y'all trying to get out of me. I've been doing that since college. I've been doing that in the league. You know what I mean? It's just certain plays you can show more because, you know, you're more open space one-on-one. You know what I mean? Sometimes when the play is clogged, you ain't going to see me doing a move, you know what I mean, like that. Like, sometimes it's certain opportunities where you could make those type of moves. So I'm guessing you're talking about on that run where I broke. And yeah, I mean, I'm one-on-one with the corner. So that's something that me personally likes to have because those are opportunities I know I could win both run hurdling, running over, or making a move, you know what I mean? So when that situation came, you know, I saw him playing a little bit more on the outside, and didn't want me to get out to the edge. So I knew that if I make a move, I did actually last week against the Seahawks, or not last week, against the Cowboys. So, man, I'm not good at interviewing, man, because I'm actually too honest with what I say, man, I don't have no filter. So, I mean, I'm trying to keep this stuff PG before I start cussing. So,
So, two things there, too. I find him likable. I do. I find him likable in all his intensity. But if we're actually looking at the question, and I it was a little bit garbled, Dulac, I think, said something to the effect like, you looked a little more nimble today. And Najee says, I don't know what you're trying to get at. To which I would answer, you almost never look like you looked like today. What was the difference? If you did look more like that more often, your own team would have you at least signed to a fifth year and probably to a long-term contract. Instead, they didn't even offer you that. You probably don't want to say that, Bob, or it gets real combative.
Well,
but come on,
the
I don't know where
PG would go away to an X.
I don't know what you're trying to get at. What do you mean? I'm trying to get at you. Never look like you look today. You look like a breakaway
and
runner.
The answer, he said within his answer, he said the answer. The answer is, well, you know, most of the time I'm running up the middle, or there's not a lot of opportunity to go out in that open space and show that I can make those plays, and I did today. So it's as simple as that. I had opportunities. I took advantage of it. I have more speed than you may think I have, but I need to have open alleys to get there. That's all.
I don't even think he had that many. He made great runs, man. Go look at that dive. That play was stopped. I hate the pitch play to Najee. I think running him outside is crazy, but he made a great play. It was good.
He made somebody miss right at the first point of
contact. There was a huge crowd around him.
And he juked a guy.
He got through it.
And then he got the nice block by Freiermuth, and that was the end of that. So
yeah.
But it was a different kind of running that we saw yesterday.
Please don't act like you don't know where the questions are coming from. You've hardly looked like that at any point in your whole career. It looked different today. Why? And I guess if I'm the running back there, I do take that as a criticism, but it's maybe a justified one in a way, right? Or at least a critique. Like, what was different about today than other days?
Well, again, I think one of his answers, he was talking about that. He said, it's not different. It's just 11 guys doing their job, and you guys always want to single me out, and it's about everybody. Okay, I get it. You're the running back who is supposed to get the yards that they expect, which is, again, why they did not pick up your fifth-year option. If they were as impressed with you as you would have wanted them to be.
It's not just about the blocking. It's about vision.
Right.
It's about burst.
It's about hitting
the hole
quickly.
It's about raw speed. It's about all the things like that he hasn't displayed in his career. Sorry, but he just hasn't.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago against Indy, you had him running with Cordarrelle Patterson, seemingly the same plays against the same team. One guy was getting to the line in a split second, and Najee was hesitating.
Right. Yeah.
So it's complicated. There's a lot to love with Najee, and I do love a lot of what he brings, but he's not a great running back. He's not.
No, he's a very
good running
back.
And a lot of nights he's not even a good running back.
But I think he is very good. I think he offers them an inside kind of presence.
Should they have given him a fifth year?
No, I wouldn't have. But, Justin Fields didn't get a...
If he's a very good running back, why wouldn't you give him a fifth year?
Because running backs could be found a lot cheaper all over who can give you the same kind of production. I've always felt that about running backs. What I'm saying is they would rather allocate money in different directions. And why do it? If you don't have to do it, they could find replacement running backs. That's all due respect to Najee, but you look around the NFL, you'll see them everywhere. Jaylen Warren's one right in your own backyard. You know, you found him out of undrafted status, came in, gave him an opportunity. Running backs are a different breed. If you're really elite, and he's not in that category for me, he's a very good running back. You'll talk about Saquon Barkley. You'll talk about Christian McCaffrey. You'll talk about Gibbs, you'll talk about others who are in that category. They can make things happen, and Barkley's been the best thing the Eagles did this whole offseason, I think. He's a large percentage of their offense. That's different. But I still have a lot of respect for Najee Harris, what he does, what he brings, complemented with somebody like Jaylen Warren. They could be very, very good in that run game, and that's what they're going to lean on when everybody's healthy, I think.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Very interesting back and forth with Najee after the game. He had a great game. We came up with an interesting comparison, Bob, and I would throw in another name to how Najee sort of handles the media. Feels like his general demeanor is reminiscent of Tom Barrasso. And I would add Barry Bonds, too, in that the commonality there is that they're extremely combative with the media, take even compliments to be insults, and, you know, which is fine. They can do whatever they want, but it's reminiscent of those two, except for this. Barrasso and Barry Bonds were great. Najee's not. He had a great game yesterday, but those two guys were elite at their positions in their sport, and Najee is not. That's to me the difference, but he does remind me of them in that way. And they probably all three take that sort of attitude onto the field. You know what I mean? It's hard to step off the field and just let it go.
It definitely fuels them for what they're trying to do, but I think they should be understanding of the situation at hand. It's not a lot of those questions that are met as compliments and they twist them, and Barrasso was good at it. I always respected Tom, a very smart, well thought out, articulate person, but he would sometimes get a little agitated with how you phrase something. And instead of answering the question, he would take it, twist it, and what are you trying to
don't
get
I
at?
Know. And yeah. So is Najee. That's the interesting thing, is that like Barrasso, he's keenly insightful, very well spoken about how certain plays unfold. Like, you'd love to sit down and talk with those guys for an hour about the game. But they also have that chip on their shoulder where, again, even the compliments they hear as insults. They do. I mean, Saunders started his question about diving in from the five saying it was pretty impressive, and immediately that became a problem. Yeah.
What do you question me? I could do anything I wanted to. No, the question was, when do you know it's appropriate to do it, especially when you stretch out like that?
Yeah.
Boy, if he had added to that question, Saunders, and said, "And what would have happened if that ball got into the end zone because you put it out there?" It would have been a touchdown.
I remember, yeah. It's always interesting talking to these guys in locker rooms. I don't go in there anymore. You know, the players, they don't want people in the NFL locker rooms anymore anyway. A lot of it is sanitized these days. It's City Hall covering City Hall. You get the teams covering themselves. The interviews are more closely managed. All of that, you rarely see any more really juicy one-on-one interviews anyway, Bob. So I'm not going back in there anytime soon. I really don't want to. I don't see much of an advantage to it.
Yeah, and you know, back in the day when we used to go in there and you could go to anybody at any time, ask a question, no.
Steelers locker room has always been great to go in, or was always great to go into.
I think
it's not that hard, by the way, no. Bob. I had Ron Francis tell me once, I thanked him for an interview. He said, "Joe, the locker room's open for 20 minutes. I tell you guys what I think you want to hear, and then I have the rest of the day. I don't think of it. It's 20 minutes. Yeah. It's not that hard." That's why a lot of these guys, it's like, is it really that hard? Is it really that hard to say, hey, I could jump in from the 20, Alan Saunders, if I wanted to? That was a fun play. It was a great play. I loved it, man. Yeah, I could probably go from the 10 if I wanted, you know. But everything becomes a problem. And again, that's fine. It's interesting. It's more interesting than sanitized quotes. I can tell you that. But it shouldn't be, it shouldn't be that hard, that difficult. But, as Francis said, the door's open for 20 minutes. I tell you what you want to hear and you can leave.
It's easier just to do it and be done with it as opposed to trying to hide from it. And then people keep searching you out. George Pickens, that was the first time I believe he spoke after a game all year, maybe. You know, again, here's the thing. Again, it's just how things have changed. Back in the day, you can go in there, and if you wanted to get somebody repeatedly, day after day, most guys were receptive of that. Sidney Crosby still does it every single day. He talks before and after the game. He understands that's part of the role, and I think that's where it starts. You have to understand that what you're doing is actually speaking on behalf of a public. They want to know what happened on a certain play. They want to know what you're thinking. They buy all your uniform jerseys for that reason. They're fans of yours. They want to hear from you. And now it's a designated day. Everyone has 5 minutes on this day and this day only, and that's it. So, you know, for those of us who've been around a long time, that's not the way that we used to do it. And I used to like it better when it was just, hey, there's a conversation. And you were held accountable for things you said or didn't say.
I will say this, though, again, and that is that I think that Najee is a highly intense guy. And this is way better than going in there and getting sanitized BS quotes. That's why a guy like Jim Boeheim. Was I a big fan of Jim Boeheim? I thought Jim Boeheim was a jerk. But you know what? I'd rather go into a news conference and cover that than I would what you hear from almost all coaches these days, which is nothing. They're all afraid to say anything. So I'll take that over the alternative any day. Let's go to the lines on Najee. 928-9370. Pet Fest 24, presented by Subaru, is back October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. Event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, participate in costume contests, and get photos with Santa. Stop by any Subaru dealer for complimentary tickets. For more information, go to 937thefan.com.
Well, let's start with Nick in Sacramento, Joe.
What's up, Nick?
Joe, I love your guys' show. Love you guys what you do on X and all that stuff. And I, every week I have to wake up to you guys because it fires me up for work, just like this Najee Harris situation. I love the way Najee brings the intensity. I will take a guy over Najee, over a Pickens in that locker room to be a leader any day. I don't care if he sits there and he wants to be angry when he talks. When he hurdles over people, when he knocks people down, when he's out there running like he did yesterday. Okay, yeah, I know the averages and the stats are down. But the thing is, with that offensive line he's been working with, and yes, it's on him as well. He owns up to everything he does. He's not out there driving to an airport with another teammate, getting high in a parking lot with a smoke full of marijuana. He's not out there doing things, making mistakes in the public, okay? He cares about the community.
He's not out there doing the stuff Ben did when he was young in the league, right?
Exactly. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I just love – when you keep saying intensity, Joe, it makes me intense in a great way, and I love how you're bringing it up. And, Bob, I understand what you're saying about the question being complimentary, but let's be honest. These locker rooms, like you just said, and you kind of hit it, and I'm not trying to repeat it, but I agree with you. They are very sanitized. I got friends out here working in media for the Sacramento Kings, and all it is they want to coddle and protect these players. And then these players want to protect themselves. But Najee, hey, he's speaking up for himself. I don't think he's being disrespectful to anybody. I just think he wants the people to know that, hey, I'm out here to win. I have a team behind me. Yesterday didn't happen just because of me. Yesterday wasn't all about him. He was talking about his team. He was talking about how he didn't get there because it wasn't just him. I mean, I'll tell you, look, this guy is a Steeler. He is a Steeler football player. He is a wrecking ball. He is a guy that I want on my team. He might average 3.7, 3.8.
Would you sign him to a long-term deal? Because the bottom line is, how good of a running back is he? Would you have given him a fifth year? Because the Steelers didn't.
Well, I would give him a fifth year. Why not give him a fifth year? Now, I'm not saying, I mean, long-term, I don't know. But the Steelers, the Pirates, the Penguins, we don't give people long-term money. If we do, it turns into a player that is gone anyway because they do something outrageous. But Najee deserves something. I don't know what that financial stem would be. I don't know what that branch or all the branches he's going to get. But if he leaves Pittsburgh and he goes somewhere else, let me tell you, he's not done. He has at least 2 or 3 years left. I'd give him like a 2-year deal. Simply, if he can agree to it, I bet you he takes it. He's a humble man. He came from Antioch, California. If you saw where he grew up and where he came from, ask him one day. Ask him that in the media. Ask him where he came from and what was brought down an hour from my house, where he grew up. If you drive there, he kind of grew up like in a Pittsburgh-type city
atmosphere. No doubt. The guy's overcome a ton. And again, I love his running style, and I'll take those media sessions over the sanitized ones, Bob.
Yeah, no, I largely comments today are the same. I mean, it's the same kind of stuff you get, and it gets frustrating listening to it, but it is what it is, so that's the way it goes. I appreciate his candor, but I just would advise, man, when you have a good day, enjoy it, and don't let people who are trying to compliment you with what you've done twist it into something that it's an attack on what you didn't do the week before.
Well, I will say this. When you're asked, you know, today you looked quicker and faster, that is sort of, that could be read as, well, they're being critical of me. But I think...
But it's true.
But it is true.
And, I mean, yeah, it's an observation. Obviously, the Steelers had to make some observation before they decided to turn down the option. They made observations, too. It's part of what you do. All I'm saying is there's a way to handle that and say, well, you know, I just don't have... And he explained it in the answer after he was a little miffed by the question.
It's tough.
You got to do is say, I had opportunities in an open field. It's hard for me to get those sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
without it coming off as sounding insulting. It'd be like somebody, you know... It'd be like asking somebody who's a 60% free throw shooter who had a good night, like, why tonight? You haven't made them all year. You can't hear that question as anything but, well, you're criticizing what I've done all year. But as you said, it's fair.
Yeah.
It's a fair question. How you looked faster, hit the hole faster, had some breakaway runs.
If he had phrased it by saying, hey, you look like you hit another gear today.
Yeah.
Would have gotten the same response maybe?
Probably.
Was there another gear that you hadn't been able to get to?
Yeah. I think it probably would have gotten the same response. Verizon, the official 5G network of the Pittsburgh Steelers, is treating deserving veterans to lunch with Cam Hayward. Head to a Verizon store by October 20th to nominate a vet. No purchase necessary. 18 plus to enter. Visit lunchwithcamhaywardfromverizon.com for details. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19. Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. One more on Najee. Go ahead, Wonder Twin.
Well, let's go to Cordell in Oakmont.
What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good
morning.
Hey, I get that you're saying that you're kind of annoyed by how he answers questions, but at the same time, you guys just spent how much time talking about how
I was entertained by the way he answers questions, and it beats the sanitized version of answers every single time.
Yeah, I agree. He's real. But also to compare him to Barry Bonds and Tom Barrasso is a little bit crushing to his character, because I've heard you folks in the media compare those two guys to, I've heard people call Barry Bonds the worst human being they've ever met.
Yeah, I wasn't comparing him to Barry Bonds, the human being off the field, their demeanor in the locker room, how they can even interpret a compliment as an insult and how they're combative. Very simple. I cover Tom Barrasso day to day. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, good for you. I personally would have picked up his fifth-year option and been done with him. That's fine. But it also says a little bit about the culture of the team when you're not rewarding this guy with a fifth year. So he does everything well. He does everything right. By all means, he's a good team leader. And as far as his yards per carry, how many times does he get hit in the backfield? And it's amazing that he doesn't fumble, because he barely gets the handoff at
times. Wait, so you would sign him to a long-term deal?
No, I would have picked up his fifth-year option and then let him become a free agent. I think the cost was minimal, and he's a running back, and that's just kind of the world that the NFL is. You don't keep guys that aren't Christian McCaffrey or some of these other guys that catch a bunch of passes. But to not pick up his fifth year, I think it was $6-7 million?
I think it was
something
like
that.
They also higher than that.
They also took away his captaincy after a year.
Well, they like to put the quarterbacks in there. You know, Mitch Trubisky was a captain, so I don't put a lot of stock.
I do, because they've had two captains for many years, guys like Pouncey, and when a guy is considered such a leader that he gets the captaincy. Was he a rookie, I think, or his second year? I think that's interesting that he then gets it taken away. That's just me.
I don't think they take it away. They just gave it to somebody else. That's not taking it away.
Well, he had it.
Like
he had
quarterback
it.
Being captains. Most teams have their quarterback being a captain, whether they two of the past 3 years, their captain quarterback has been benched.
He had a captaincy, and then what is that?
What?
Did you get that in your ear, Bob?
I got it in my ear, too, yeah.
Are you getting that in your ear, limits?
Oh, that goes over to your ears, too?
Yeah.
I quickly pressed the air button from the pre-delay button. I'm sorry, I didn't know that
no,
went
that's
over
okay.
yours. I thought it was just mine.
It was twice that happened. I don't know, Bob, if I have something and then I no longer have it, I think it got taken away. Call me crazy on that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the case. That's how it was.
And we know that Mike Tomlin makes the ultimate call on the captains, by the way.
Yeah, and I think and what he's saying is fine. He is a guy who gives it his all. He plays high. I respect all of that. I said when we started this conversation, he is reliable. He does not fumble. He does what he has to do, but he's better served not getting 30 carries. That's what he is. He's better. It's more with less, I think. When you give him 30 carries and expect him to, you know, average 4 yards a carry, you may not get that on this team. I think it's better when you have a guy like Jaylen Warren complimenting him. They're better served with both guys. So that's just the way I look at it. It's not intended to take anything away from him.
So the Twitter poll that I had out, I like when the guy said, good for me, by the way, when I said I covered Barrasso all those years.
Comparison there is that Tom twisted an innocent question and turned it into something that it wasn't, and I think he does the same thing.
It's amazing and very interesting to hear from people how they hear things. In whatever mode you're listening, you can watch us on YouTube, by the way. That guy heard us comparing him to Barrasso and Bonds, generally speaking, as a human being, where I thought it was very clear that their manner with the media, whether you like it or not like it, to me is very similar. And not necessarily a horrible thing.
No, it's just their personality that you're seeing. This is how everything is perceived in their world, and that's okay. Except, you know, it gets to a point where it's like, okay, you had a good day. Enjoy the good day. There's no need to try to super analyze or break down a question that's intended to compliment you. That's all I took from that.
Who should start against the Jets at quarterback? The Twitter poll I put out, 610 votes in an hour. Justin Fields crushes Russell Wilson on that, Bob. I'm not saying that's scientific, but that's 600 people who presumably watch the Steelers a lot, almost 52% to 29%. And then no way Mulsey made 9 threes, came in with 20% of the vote. But Fields, he may still be the people's choice here.
He is until he isn't. You know, and that's how quarterback play goes in the NFL. If next week against the Jets they start out and those turnover-worthy plays actually turn into turnovers and they're down and he doesn't have it, things will change. Because I agree with what you said at the beginning. I think there's a close decision being made here, and it could be week to week based on how performances go, given how this is in the AFC North.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.